Welcome to the extravaganza known as the Steeler Hangover, brought to you by BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And for all your Pittsburgh Steeler needs, so the Pittsburgh Steelers finally won a game out west against the Chargers. It started out 24-0 and then at 24-17. I don't know what kind of nerves was going on with anybody, but I had a little bit of nerves going on there. So with that being said, you know, we've got so much going on with the Steelers, but we could just celebrate a win going into a bye week, a much needed bye week. So that's what today's about, my friends. It's about celebration, to quote Cool and the Gang. And one of the original members of Cool and the Gang is our very own Tony DeFeo. Tony, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, Brian. Happy Monday as always. Happy Columbus Day. It was a much needed win, and I can't wait to talk about it. It was your typical Mike Tomlin backs up against the wall kind of win.
Well, you know what? That's kind of what he does, and we're kind of used to that. And everybody that is calling for this might be his first losing season, and it still very well could be. You know, that's one of those things. I mean, it could be, but there's still a lot of games to be played. So that's kind of the point of the show today. So how much does yesterday's win go ahead and alter the 2019 season? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But first, just a reminder, we're going to be seeing all our friends here on the live chat in Steeler Nation. As always, we appreciate you. Don't attack each other. Be buddies. Be family. That's what we are, a BTSC family. And what we're going to ask of you is, if you do have questions, if you do have super chat questions, please reserve those until the end of the show. We'll take questions then. But with that being said, Tony, let's get to that question. First of all, you were pretty excited about the win, but my question to you is, what are we looking at as far as the remainder of the 2019 season?
Well, I think it changed it a lot, you know, what happened last night. I mean, like we said last week, or at least I said, they needed to try to find a way to win a game that nobody thought they could win. And certainly last night was one of those games. You had your third string quarterback at the start of the year. Now your backup quarterback going up against a Hall of Fame quarterback on the road. You know, if there's ever a game nobody expects you to win, it would have been that one. And they went out and they did it in a pretty impressive fashion. So that changes everything. You have Miami coming up in 2 weeks, and I'm sorry, but if they don't win that game, shame on them. That team is practically begging to lose games right now. So, you know, and then you take it from there. You know, right now you're 2-4. If you beat Miami, you're 3-4, and you have your next three games at home. So I think it changed it a lot. They went out and they stole a win last night, and that could very well be a pivotal a catalyst, I should say, for a nice little run here to get them back into the playoff mix.
Well, yeah, it very well should. But anything can happen. You know, teams don't exactly. It's actually pretty hard to go 0-16, which is a very surprising thing to say. The Dolphins had a chance to go ahead and tie that game up. It was a really weird play. Yeah, I don't know. Did you watch it, Tony?
I saw it. It was suspicious. It was kind of suspicious.
You're like, are they trying to lose this game? But I don't believe that. Right. And the reason I will never believe that is because, you know, teams will never tank. If right. you're a Miami Dolphin and you see someone say tank for Tua, you're going to be like, no way. Right. I'm not tanking for anybody, because here's the deal. I'm not going to go ahead and have somebody come in and lose my job. I mean, take right. my job. Yeah, I mean, you think Fitzpatrick wants to go ahead and tank for tank for this guy? To bring in a quarterback? No, no way. No one right. does. What if there's a stud defensive lineman? What if there's a stud running back? It was just a really weird play. So I thought that was odd. But go ahead.
Well, when I say they, I mean mainly the coaches, because that was a really compromising position to put their players in. That's what I mean by they, not really the players. No player wants to tank. No player with any kind of pride cares at all about who the number one draft pick is next year. But I think, you know, maybe the coaches, you know, on pressure from the management might be putting their players in compromising positions. That's what I meant by they.
I very well see. So with that being said, there's so much to talk about. You know, going forward, My thought is it kind of changes things a little bit. If you go ahead and look at the AFC, not many teams right now are above 500. I mean, you've right. got, of course, you've got the Patriots, and you also have the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are reeling a little bit too. They have just lost two straight home games, which is almost unheard of in Kansas City. The Bills are 4-1. Is that something that could be sustained at this point? I don't know. I really don't know if they can go ahead and sustain that. You're looking at the Houston Texans, look like they have a pretty good team. The Colts, we don't know what's going on with the Colts. And then you have the Ravens who, I mean, right now, the question is, who have they played? And at this point, the toughest team that they've beaten so far would be most likely, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
So we really don't know what's going on in Baltimore as well. So things can get a little crazy. If you go ahead and look at both teams' schedules, that you know that you've got Pittsburgh had the hard work at the beginning. These guys didn't. Baltimore did not. Their next two games are against the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. And not just the Seahawks, but the Seahawks on the road. When you're going and taking when you're going out to Seattle, that's just a tough place to play. I feel like you're giving up 10 points just walking in the building.
Right.
So, I mean, the Ravens have a tough road to hoe. They also did have to go ahead and play Kansas City. They lost to Kansas City. The Steelers do not have they don't have to play Kansas City this year. And the reason Baltimore is playing Kansas City and the reason they are playing, I believe it is the Houston Texans. The Titans. The reason they've already played the Titans. No, excuse me. I'm wrong again. The reason they're playing the Houston Texans and the Steelers don't have to play them is because that's where they place in the division. So if you win first place in the division, that's who you're going to go up against. But so with that being said, what's going to happen going forward? Do you think Baltimore really has an easy road here, Tony?
Oh, well, as you just laid out, not in the near future. They have, as you said, a couple of really tough opponents coming up, and that's why it's imperative for Pittsburgh to get its act together, you know, especially on offense and forge some kind of an identity, which I think you saw a little bit last night with the running game. And win, you know, these next couple of games or two out of these next three games and really climb back into it, because they really do have a shot to climb back into it. As crazy as that is to say right now, or as crazy as that sounds, they do have a chance to really get back into it. And Baltimore, they didn't look that great yesterday playing Cincinnati, a really bad Cincinnati team. So, you know, I don't think that the Ravens, you know, are on easy street at any stretch at this moment. I think they have their work cut out for them. Certainly over the next couple of weeks.
So let's go ahead and take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. They've got the bye. They need the bye. And we'll talk about how important that is in just a few minutes, because I mean, four injuries that came out of yesterday that could really be debilitating to this team. We'll go ahead and take a look at that. But if you go ahead and look ahead after that, like you said, they have the Miami Dolphins. And it does not look like this team wants to win a game or has the capability of winning games right now. So if that's something that happens, then the Steelers very well could be, and they're going to be favored that game, they very well could be a 3-4 team at the end of that. What is significant about 3-4 to you, Tony?
Well, I mean, it would get them to within what? One more game or one game closer to the Ravens. If the Ravens lose, are they off next week too?
The Ravens are off the week after.
Okay. So, you know, if the Ravens are 4-3 and the Steelers are 3-4, I mean, you're only talking about a game behind. It would be two with the tiebreaker, but we can't really worry about that right now. You're closer to 500. You've dug yourself out of a hole. At 3-4, it doesn't look like the end of the world at that point.
Well, you know what? That's 100% true. But believe it or not, Tony, that's not where I was going with this. Where I'm going with this is one of my favorite years, and I know it's one of your favorite years.
Oh, I see.
In history, when was the last time they were 3-4 and had a magical season?
1995.
Yes. Now, when I say magical, they did not win the whole thing, but that's still a very special season.
It was magical to me. I know that.
Going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was. And that game was, I still like watching that game. I don't shy away from the highlights to that game. I like watching it because I like where they came from that game and what could have happened in that game. It just didn't. And we could talk about that for a long time, but that's that, even in a loss, that was, it was my first Super Bowl as an adult.
Me too.
And, because the last one, I was 8 years old. You were probably the same age. So it's just something that I waited 26 years to see that. Excuse me. I waited at that point, I believe 16 years to see them in the Super Bowl. And that was a long time for me. And, right. 26 years to see them finally win it. But that was a special game because they weren't even 14-point favorites. I think it was like more than that. And right. They weren't even expected to compete in that game. And they had that game. They really could have moved ahead in that game. But so let's look forward and let's go ahead and look at the Ravens schedule here. And so we'll just do rapid fire here, Tony. And what we're going to do, I'm just going to give you their schedule for the rest of the season. And you just say win or loss. And we'll figure out where we go from there. And if I'm correct, the Baltimore Ravens are 4-2 at this point. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So let's go to Seattle next week at 4:25 p.m., the Ravens and the Seahawks.
Oh, loss. Well, that's a tough place, loss.
Patriots at the Ravens on Sunday Night Football.
They play them pretty tough, but I think the Patriots are going to pull that out, win or a loss, I should say.
Okay, so that puts them at 500 at that point. Ravens at Bengals.
Oh, win.
Okay, Texans at Ravens.
Right now, I think the Texans look really good. I'm going to go with loss.
They really do. So that puts them at a 5-5 record. The Ravens traveling, and I believe this is a Monday night game. Yes, this would be a Monday night game to Los Angeles to play the Rams.
I think they can win that game. I'm going to go with win for now.
Okay. 49ers at Ravens, December 1st.
I think the 49ers might be the best team in the NFC, so I'm going to go with loss.
Okay. So that puts them at 6-6 with four games to go. Here's a really interesting one. And actually, I don't know what's opposite this and what's scheduled, but I would not be surprised if the Ravens and Bills end up on Sunday Night Football. I would doubt that this game would be protected by CBS. So the Ravens travel to Buffalo, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Where are we putting the Ravens after that game?
Bills have a really good defense this year. I'm going to go with... I'm going to say they diagnose Lamar Jackson and beat them in a close game. So I'm going to go with loss.
So they're 6-7 at that point. Let's go ahead. Jets and Ravens.
Win.
Okay. We'll put them at 7-7. Ravens at Browns, 12-22.
Ooh. Well, I know what my next answer is going to be. So I'm going to say win.
Okay. 8-7, and this is another one that could be flexed at this point. If things go in the direction, we've seen a lot of teams battling for the division that they go ahead and put on Sunday Night Football, so we might be seeing Steelers at Ravens on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that would be a heart attack game, but I'm going to say loss. Of course, they're going to lose that game.
That would put the Ravens at 8-8. And so at that point, you would have to think that the Steelers, if things go right for them, that they could possibly, if they're not at 9-7, if they're at 8-8, they could actually win a tiebreaker there. So, I mean, with that being said, we need to go ahead and take a look at the Steelers schedule as well. And we know about the bye, and we already talked about the fact that the Steelers will be playing Miami after that. So we're going to go ahead. I mean, we're going to assume that that's going to be a win. Okay.
Right.
We're not assume, but we're going to predict a win there. So we're going to go, we're going to have the Steelers at 3-4. And let's try to be objective. Let's not try to be homers on this.
Right, right, right.
But I agree with you on, I agree with you with pretty much everything you said. I could make a case for the Baltimore Ravens to actually be 9-7. That San Francisco game is a weird game, but I could also make a case to flip it and say the Rams in Los Angeles would be a tough place for the Ravens to go and play. Right. So let's just say that it seems logical that they're a 9-7, 8-8 team. So let's go with this. Colts at Steelers.
I'm going to say win only because they historically they're really good against Indianapolis.
Yeah, they're, Indianapolis is a weird team, so I'm not sure what's going on there. So I'll actually go along with that as well. Here's a really interesting one. So that's going to put them at 500 at 4-4. Rams at Steelers.
Really good defense. I'm going to say loss because that seems like the kind of game that they would lose after an emotional win over the Colts, which I think that would be a very tough win for them to beat Indianapolis. So I'd say loss, 4-5.
I'm actually going win there, but we're going to go with your total. So let's keep them at 4-5. The next game is one that I would be more inclined to say loss, and I think you're actually going to say win on this. It's 4 days later, Thursday night in Cleveland. Steelers at Browns.
Yeah, and Cleveland doesn't look really good right now. I'm going to say win. They can win that game.
Okay, so we are at 5-5 at this point. Steelers at Bengals.
Win.
Browns at Steelers.
Win.
Okay. So with at the so we're looking at 7-5.
Oh wow. Maybe I'm overshooting my
So Steelers at Cardinals.
That's one of those Tomlin losses, I think.
Okay, 7-6. I think they go and win that. The Cardinals are not a great team, but Bills, that would put them at 8-5 for me and 7-6 for you. But let's keep yours 7-6. Bills at Steelers.
I'm going to go with win. They'll rebound to win that game.
And I'm flipping on that. So we're, so that goes in, that would go and put them at this point, 8-6, and which with me thinking that the Cardinals would win. Would lose, and the Bills would beat the Steelers. That keeps us pretty much right there. So 8-6, Steelers and Jets. Let's just say it together, win.
Win.
They're at 9-6 in that point, and Steelers at Ravens.
Well, obviously we said win. We said loss before, so it has to be a win.
So we're gonna go 10-6 with this team. So the good thing about this exercise is there's room. Nothing's life and death anymore. Yesterday was life and death.
Right.
Okay, you can't go 1-5. Now, and also knowing that you had the Miami Dolphins coming up on you.
Right.
So that's where you are. This team, Mike Tomlin teams go on runs. But Mike Tomlin teams go on runs with Ben Roethlisberger as the quarterback. So right. That's really interesting. It's nice to see, and I really haven't been paying too much attention, but I like how we have everybody playing along, especially getting Bennett with Bo. He is really into
I'm
this.
I'm seeing all W's there, all W's. Yeah.
I think he has them at 15-1, and he's he's going back in time
retroactively. Yeah,
and I'm just kidding with you, buddy. Bo's a great contributor to the show. Also, we appreciate that. You know, that's funny. So there is almost new life, and that's why I brought this whole thing up. Because you go ahead and look at the title of the show. Is this a sea change now? Is this a situation where this is kind of rerouting the whole season? And I think that win did it because you had them go to, I keep wanting to say San Diego and I haven't yet. They keep going, they go to Los Angeles, the West Coast, where the record is so ridiculous on the West Coast in that Pacific time zone for Mike Tomlin. It's so bad. And they went ahead and got a win, which was
only a second everybody, one.
Yeah. Well, if you count, even though it's not Pacific time zone, but if you count a win in Arizona, and if you count a win in Denver, I mean, they have about four of them, but still it's pretty bad because just losing all those Raiders and 49ers games, I think they're 0-5 in Northern California, right, if I'm not mistaken. So, just with that, you know, you're looking at, that was against you there. You right. also have the fact that you're going with a third string quarterback that was not drafted, that everybody said no to, including the Steelers, and they brought him back. He's a fantastic story, but it's not something that you're expecting to hang your hat on for the long term. And if you look at the game, which we're going to look at in a few minutes, but if you look at how the game went, you're not sure how long that that glass slipper stays on. And that's just being real and blunt, but I'm hopeful that it stays on for a long time. But so you're looking at that, and you're also looking at the fact that the running game has not been good. And there's other teams are going to, you know, stack the box. The offensive line has not been good. And you have a guy in Phillip Rivers that is a gamer. And I know they're having their problems as well as far as injuries. But, I mean, the guy that tore you up last year, the two guys that tore you up last year were Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen. Right. And you kept Keenan Allen to 33 yards. So that's something really positive there. So let's go ahead and look at last night's game. What was your knee-jerk reaction when that game started?
Well, I thought it was going to be – my knee-jerk reaction is I thought it was going to be a very close game and come down to the end. That's what I felt at the beginning anyway.
And you know what? It did. But as things started to go, I noticed with Duck when he went downtown right away to Juju Smith-Schuster, I got a little worried right there. And the reason I got worried was the fact that Juju – If that ball was on point or even thrown a little farther, Juju could have taken that to the house. I know he was double covered, but he still could have. If he was just led a little bit more, he was open enough that he was fine. And I'm going to bring this up. Mr. Dennis Sheridan says this: I was nervous after Duck's first pass. I was nervous after Duck's first pass as well. That was scary, but. And I am first to criticize, and I do this all the time because I'm not a Randy Feetner guy. You've seen our articles, and I like him. I think Coach Randy's a nice dude. But, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator, I thought that he was still installing Ben Roethlisberger game plans. And that is something that I just was not liking. And if you go ahead and Dave Schofield put this on the website today on the blog site behindthesteelcurtain.com. He also showed the chart. He wasn't completing much downfield at all. They were little passes. Those are the 15s and he went 15 of 20. And I know we saw that out of Mason Rudolph early too. He started mixing it in a little bit more as he was going and getting confidence. He was having an opportunity to go ahead and do more. Duck Hodges, if he was had to be counted on going forward, that's the same thing. You know, I mean, he would be counted on to go ahead and find his way. But right now, they went ahead and put together an offense that would go ahead and protect this quarterback. And that's exactly what they did. And Dallas Quinley says Mason started with a flea flicker to go ahead and loosen things up. And that's exactly what he did. And he completed it. And that helped him up a lot. But look, Duck Hodges did exactly what he needed to do. I thought he showed great poise in that game, and I love. I'm an instant fan. I'm a fan for this of this guy for life, just for the fact that he came in. And I think I don't think we've seen the last of him. I think he is definitely going to be a guy that could come in here. I'm not calling him a starter. I'm not calling him Drew Brees at that size. But what I am calling him is I'm calling him an NFL player right now. And he proved that last night with that victory. You go ahead and look at the only rookie quarterback for the Steelers that had a in the last 30 years that had their first victory be their first start, and it was Ben Roethlisberger. So that's the thing. Duck Hodges went in. He did exactly what he needed to do. He did not lose. Thank you, Bo. He didn't lose. And he played the game well. When he had to take off and run, there was no fear. I mean, I didn't see any fear in this guy at all. And that's what I really liked about him too. So, I mean, we'll see what happens going forward. I mean, we might see him again this season due to injury. You kind of expect Mason Rudolph to be back after the bye. And one more thing to mention about the whole quarterback situation, Tony, that it was reported today, and we had some information up on the site too, that the report was that Mason Rudolph was cleared to play in this game, and the Steelers went ahead and went with Duck Dynasty. And this goes back 10 years to this decision, and this is something that I talked about. I don't know if I talked about it on the show or I talked about it on the other podcast, the Steeler Preview that I do. But what I talked about was the fact back in 2009, the Steelers played, I believe it was a December 1st game. It was Sunday Night Football. Ben Roethlisberger suffered a concussion the week before. And they went into this game against Baltimore on Sunday night with Dennis Dixon as the quarterback. But the interesting thing about it, Ben showed up on Friday or Saturday and said, hey, look, I'm ready to go. And he would have been clear to play the game. And Mike Tomlin and company said, hey, no. We went ahead. We worked this entire week with Dennis Dixon with the first team, and that's what we're going with. They ended up losing, if I'm not mistaken, 20-17, but I'm not sure. That's just, I'm just relying on memory on that.
Yeah, it was overtime.
Okay. So they went ahead and lost that game. But the bottom line of the whole thing is they went and stuck to their guns. And so, you know, that's something that they did again this time. So you could probably expect that with Mike Tomlin team, that when something like that happens, if they're not practicing on Thursday or Friday, and even this guy was practicing, Mason Rudolph was practicing, but I kind of thought it would be dangerous to put him in so soon. I think that brain, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I think they were giving him more time to recover and actually see what they had in Duck Dynasty. But the problem with that being said is it was a very dangerous proposition as well. You know, Dennis mentions you have to give the coaching staff props for going ahead and protecting Mason Rudolph. Yeah, I think we need to protect these players. And they went ahead and did that. So it worked out well. So that's a gamble that paid off. But it was a smart gamble, because even if it doesn't pay off with a victory, you're protecting a human being's life and their well-being and their future. I kind of like that. I would have, I would hope that I would have made the same decision in that place, or if it was my son in that situation, that somebody would have made that decision as well. But you know, with everything else going on, and with everything else going on, it worked. And Duck Hodges, like I said, I'll forever appreciate this guy with the moxie that he showed in this game. But that game doesn't happen, Tony, without what player?
Without you talking about
on offense?
James Conner. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I just put you on the spot there. here's the thing. James Conner, man, you look at his stats, and you're going to talk about how this guy's having a really bad season, you know, with that being said. And, you know, look, I'm probably not supposed to do this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this now as I'm glancing over. Mountain Evergreen, ridiculous comments. Look, that's not welcome here. And
you ever notice how people like him never ever post their actual pictures? What a jerk.
So I'm just gonna say it right now. Look, it's not welcome here. That's not what this is about. This is obviously the first time you've been on this show, and your comments aren't welcome. Do me a favor, stick on the show, listen to it, but just put something constructive if you're gonna put it down. All right.
Get back in the time machine and come back to 2019.
There you go. But and sorry, I got crossed up there, but I'm just being honest. That's not what we do here.
Yeah, I was distracted by that too. That's why you caught me off guard with. I was distracted by his comments too. I was totally taken off guard by that. So sorry about that.
And thanks. So here's the deal. James Conner, if you look at his stats, especially his rushing stats, he's having a horrible season, you got to think. But he's carrying this team quite a bit with what he's doing, bailing out these young quarterbacks with those passes. He's moving the chains. That's why they're having these drives. Because, and you can't really say Juju had a bad game yesterday. Juju didn't have opportunities yesterday.
Right.
He had three targets.
Right.
He had, so, you know, it's just... And Deontay Johnson caught a couple balls, but it just wasn't in the game plan, because that's what you had to do to win that game. So that's why I'm giving props to everybody on that offense. The offense really had a good game last night as well, too. I failed to mention this, but Alvin Villanueva, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster and Filer were all singled out by Collinsworth and Michaels at one time for some very good blocks.
Right.
So
he barely got touched yesterday.
So yeah.
He
looked good. But the problem with this team on offense, and I'm not going to talk about how I'm complaining about the, you know, how the blocking was and the schemes were, but the blocking was rough. The scheme was good last night. Last night, the blocking was better. And that was evident when you brought Benny Snell Jr. into the game and he finally got a chance to play what?
Benny Snell football.
So that's something too. Now I'm going to bring this up. I'm just going to get ahead of myself here too. I'm just going to bring this up. Nap 1963, good butt of the show, good buddy of the show, excuse me. Was anyone else stunned to see Moncrief make a tough catch? I'm actually going to disagree with you on that. I mean, I was stunned to see that that he made the catch, but if you look back on it, I don't even think that was a catch. I watched a replay of that. I thought it hit the ground, and I'm surprised that that ended up not being overturned. But if you do notice that they did go ahead and run up to the line to make sure that wasn't a chance to go ahead and get reviewed. But I still think you've got to give this guy opportunities, because that's who you have right now. Without James Washington in there, you have to have receivers. Somebody mentioned earlier, how soon is he going to get cut? It just depends on the health of this team going forward.
Well, I don't think you can count on him being cut right now, because you have nothing in Switzer and Holton. So, I mean, you're down to four receivers at this point. The other two guys can't do anything for you there. So why would you want to cut him right now?
It's well, the reason people want him cut is because of that third round draft pick. I'm not even thinking about tomorrow now, because at this point, I'm thinking about 2019, and the point of the show was, did they go ahead and change the course of this season? And I think the resounding answer is yes.
Right.
Yes, they did.
I agree.
So I'm feeling great about it. Now, we've talked about the offense. We talked about the game plan. I loved what Benny Snow Jr. did. He averaged 4.4 yards a carry, I believe. Mm-hmm. Looked really good. Connor did what he needed to do, catching the ball out of the backfield, because, you know, Samuels is not there either. So you really need Connor doing that more and more and more. And what was the knock on James Connor coming into his rookie season? And even last year was the fact that he doesn't catch the ball well out of the backfield, and he's not much of a blocker.
Right.
He seems to have changed. So then we go ahead and look at the defensive side of the ball, Tony. When you're thinking about that defense, who is the heart and soul? Who is the number one heart and soul of that team right now? Or can you even answer that? Yeah. Is it more than one?
That's the thing. It's a tough question, because you have the young rookie phenom and Devin Bush who created one touchdown and set up another. You have TJ Watt, who's TJ Watt. I mean, you have Joe Hayden, you have now Minka Fitzpatrick, you have Hayward. There's so many guys on this defense now. It's almost becoming, it's maybe by default because Big Ben's not there, but it's almost becoming the strength of this football team, and the identity of this football team is their defense. Which, so who would have said that last year at this time, right?
Exactly. And here's the best part about it. I'm going to cop out and I'm going to say, and I kind of set you up on that question, I think it's a number of guys. If I had to pick a captain of that defense, I would go ahead and pick TJ Watt right now. But consider, I still love the leadership of a guy like Cam Hayward as well. Somebody, Ken Cranston, just said front seven is the heart and soul of this team. And I really think they are. But if you're looking at the face of the defense going forward, I think right now it very could be well be very soon Devin Bush.
Yeah.
It could very well be Minka Fitzpatrick. But right now, if I have to put the heart and soul label on a guy, everything that TJ Watt does he's just a leader. And so that's fantastic. Now, last night, something else major happened as well. A guy emerged on that defense as somebody that we're going to be talking about the rest of the season. And I'm going to let Gyro say it for us. He's saying Sutton is showing signs of greatness.
What a fourth quarter he had. What a fourth quarter. It was unbelievable, the things he did in 15 minutes.
I love what this guy is doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is his third season, and he's really starting to come in to his own. And I love everything about him. So when I did the grades article, here's something really interesting. I did the grades article. And when I went ahead and did this, I go ahead and I do the valedictorian. And it was actually tough to do a valedictorian. I'm actually doing one on offense and defense now. So if you go valedictorian on offense for last night's game, it's got to be James Conner.
Right.
Defense was a lot tougher.
Yeah, I know. That's a great thing.
I don't know if you know who I went with, but I'll let you go ahead and throw in your valedictorian yesterday.
Well, I think it has to be Devin Bush because, again, you know, he was Johnny on a spot. You know, he seemed like the only person on the field that knew that pass by Rivers was a backwards pass, and he picked it up and he showed great athleticism by getting to the end zone and getting in and scoring. And then, you know, he set up the second touchdown with the interception. Now you have to give Alu a lot of credit for batting the pass in the air, but still, I mean, that's two touchdowns from the guy that you drafted, that you traded up 10 spots to be the difference maker for your defense, and he was the difference maker for that defense last night, at least in the beginning of the game, and that was the difference in the game ultimately. So it has to be Devin Bush for me personally.
So I went with Devin Bush as well, but I put a lot of guys on the honor roll, and some of the guys I put on the honor roll, Bud Dupree was one of them. I did not put a Lulu on there, and I should have. It's also midnight when I'm typing.
It's a great problem to have.
And that's fantastic as well. And so we're going ahead and we're going ahead and putting guys like that on there. Of course, you're putting T.J. Watt on there. Cam Sutton's a guy that you've got to look at, and you've still got to look at Mike Hilton as well. So yeah, that defense is going great. Snowman says Devin Bush. And I do want to do a shout-out. We do have, just at this time, we do have a producer on the show, and that just showed up. Dave Schofield is back at home, and he is going to go ahead and work the live chat for us too. So feel free to go ahead, and in a couple minutes, we're going to go ahead and get your questions up there, so you can go ahead and get those ready. But here's the nice thing. A defense is really gelling. The only bad thing that we've got to worry about right now are injuries. When I'm talking about the defense, I do not see them regressing. I think they're really coming together as a unit. I still give credit to the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade that kind of gelled this defense all together. Terrell Edmunds needs to buy Minkah Fitzpatrick a fantastic Christmas gift because he's no longer getting picked on now. So I think that's a huge deal. Bush scored, so I have to give it to him, says Brandon Reese, and then turn around and got an INT. Bush at a rookie is leading the NFL in takeaways, and yes, he is. And something you brought up earlier, Tony, if you look statistically at this defense, they are now in points per game. They are very close to getting under 20 points a game as giving up. And they are now ranked 12th as a defense in points per game. Overall yards, they're ranked 15. So this is a team that is becoming very close to becoming a top 10 defense, something that you want to see happen every single time. Now, Artie Burns, I got to bring up Artie Burns. I thought he had a rough game, but it's really no reason to pick on the guy. But Sean Toner, definitely Bush, rookie defensive player of the year. But the thing about Burns is I feel like he is a liability out there, but you got to have somebody out there when these guys go down. This really, it really shows what kind of pickup Steven Nelson was. And I got to tell you, Dallas Quinley says, when Nelson comes back, we will be verging on Super Bowl caliber defense. And let's just say Super Bowl caliber. That is a big deal there. It doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl, but they're going to have that kind of defense that you feel that could help lead them in the future. So this is a defense that could really be building them up to a very fantastic 2020 as well. But we are not giving up on 2019. But I'm loving everything that I'm seeing out of this defense. You are going to have injuries, so let's talk about them. Let's bring up the big one first. I'm really worried about Stephon Tuitt, and I do not have details right now. As far as, so Michael Tuohy is saying that it is a torn pec, which I was really worried about, likely miss the rest of the season. But yeah, I don't know what the source is. And, Dave responds, and that is Dave, BTSC Steelers Radio. Michael, the report is could. So that's, I would love to know the source though. And I do respect you bringing it out, and, we're not jumping on you on that. You really helped out the program. We appreciate it. But yeah, just let us know who your source is. And Tool is saying, Ian Rappaport, Mr. Yeah. Mrs. Dickey, we haven't seen a D like this in almost 10 years. And this is reminiscent of the ESPN, the magazine famous cover with the entire Steeler defense on there. And I'm starting to see that picture in my head with these 11 guys on the cover. I really think that this is becoming a special defense, like you said. But with Tuitt being out, that changes a lot. You do have the luxury of having a fantastic backup. I would say, as far as defensive line, a non-starter in the league, Tyson Alualu is probably one of the best backups. He's one of the best next men up to go ahead and bring in there.
He's a great veteran presence. He's a great guy to have come in a pinch. You don't want to see him playing, in place of a guy like Tuitt for the rest of the year. But if he has to do that, then, the drop-off's going to be there, but it's not going to be as significant as it would be otherwise.
And Bo one and I agree with you. Alulu played great yesterday. Definitely did. I love Tyson Alulu. That is they still have that very strong presence in that 2010 draft with Alulu, Pouncey, and Hayden in there. So you know, there's a possibility that we just have to look at what is really going on with Tuitt. There are conflicting reports. So let's just not close 2019 on him already. We'll look at other guys, other injuries. Watt with an oblique. Okay, and this is what I'm going to circle back. Some good news for the Steelers. Defensive end Stephon Tuitt is week to week with a biceps injury. Not season ending. He's okay, one said. And we would just have to see the source on that as well. But thank you. I believe that was Daniel that put that up. Thank you very much. Hey, we work together on this show. So I appreciate you guys as well. You, this stuff did not pop up when I was getting ready. So I appreciate it. So there's, you never know. A lot of it is speculation. Ian Rappaport is wants to get this stuff out first, and a lot of the times he says stuff like the team fears this,
right?
You know, and there it is. Adam Lewis put it up. Ian Rappaport is reporting that the team fears he tore his pectoral. Yeah, definitely. You worry about that. But what we talked about him being the heart and soul of this defense right now. How bad is the oblique injury? I don't know that as yet. In fact, I don't know specifics on the Watt injury. But I would believe that we're looking at strains, and the bye week cannot come at a better time. You're also looking at an injury with Joe Hayden as well. So this is Hayden's one of those guys that it's a groin, and he's out a couple weeks and comes back, but that also puts a guy like Artie Burns gives him an opportunity to play, which is you know, quite frightening sometimes. And James Conner had the hip injury as well.
I will say this about Artie Burns. I mean, I'm obviously no expert on defensive back play, but I mean, they did give him a game ball. That might have been just some morale boost. I don't know, but they did give him one of the game balls last night. So that says something about what they thought of how he played anyway. And
that's fine. The bottom line is he didn't get destroyed either.
Right.
So that's he didn't get destroyed. And look, it's pretty good when you're looking for somebody to put on the detention list or the needs improvement list. Right. And we really have nobody to put on. I just fear him being in there long term, because at this point, now you're looking at guys like starting. If this was next week, you might be looking at Burns and Sutton starting, and we like what we see in Sutton, but you want to have a defensive backfield that includes Hayden and Nelson right now. The bye, though, this is the sheep M. The bye, though, will give time for the team to heal. Mason, Washington, Hayden, Watt, and Nelson should be hopefully ready to go. I tell you what, let's close the book on injuries. We will find out so much more tomorrow when Mike Tomlin takes the microphone. So that will be a big deal as far as his press conference. I always look forward to that, especially with the injury news. Sometimes you don't get a lot out of him, but you just never know what you're going to hear. You also need to get news on when James Washington's coming back, because that's still a huge injury as well. Brandon Reese, defense is getting better every week. You could tell they are learning to play together. Edmonds needs to invite Fitz to Sunday dinner. Brandon, I agree with you. Hey. In fact, we said earlier he needs to buy him a really nice Christmas gift. At least Burns did not give up the big play, says Cree. Yeah, he didn't, and that's the thing. Something that happened today is really interesting, Tony. And I just want to, this is my own theory. I'm going to call it the curse of the fifth round pick. And so when I go ahead and I'm going to talk about that fifth round pick that the Steelers gave up. and they gave up to go ahead and bring in Nick Vanette. So, which I still think Nick Vanette was needed because of the tight end depth. So if we go back to it, that was the pick. That was the pick from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. And the reason they did that, they traded Dobbs and they got a fifth round pick. Right after they trade Dobbs, Ben Roethlisberger goes down and you're missing your backup. And for depth reasons, you know, they would have never made that trade if that was the case. And they would have, you know, they'll gladly kept the fifth round draft pick. I mean, Kip got rid of the fifth round draft pick to go ahead and they realize they need a tight end. They go ahead and trade that very same fifth round draft pick to Seattle for a backup tight end because Will Disley is having a fantastic season. Will Disley looks like he is out for the year right now. So that fifth round pick that Seattle has, they'd probably want to give that back as well. you know, while I was doing that, while I was talking about the curse of the fifth round pick, we've had a lot of comments in there about the defense, about the fact, and Dave put them up. Thank you very much. But if you're listening to this on the BTSC network, as far as not watching it, but listening to it, the things that were brought up were just the fact that Tuitt is going to have an MRI tonight. And that is something we'll know a whole lot more about what's going on with him tomorrow. And a lot of them was a lot of others were talking about how the strength of the defense, how these defensive backs are coming together and how well they're playing. With that being said, we are going to go ahead, Tony, and open it up to questions. All right. So if you do have questions, feel free. This is we've got about 9 minutes until we wrap everything up. So go ahead and bring your questions in. Once again, if you came in late, we talked about how the Steelers would go ahead and after winning this game, does this mark a sea change? Does this mark a completely turn of direction now at 2-4? And we went ahead and examined the Ravens record, and we examined the Ravens record and their schedule and the Steelers schedule as well. And we determined that it could go ahead and Steelers, we projected to be possibly 10-6, 9-7, possibly for the Ravens, 8-8, 9-7 with a really tough schedule. Dave, if you want to, I'm going to go ahead and answer NVR, NDR's question, but if you want to go ahead and bring up the last one that I did miss after this, you go ahead. How about Steelers Nation showing up in LA? Wow, yeah. I mean, that was fantastic. And then the prank that they tried to play, and we'll get to that in a second. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but they tried to play a prank on Steeler Nation with Renegade, and it didn't even work. We'll talk about that in a moment. Michael Toole says, tight ends definitely need more targets. Vance only caught one ball last night and none for Vanette. Yeah, they definitely need to move it around. What do you think, Tony?
Oh, yeah, they have to. But the thing is, I mean, they've started three quarterbacks in their first six games. So they need to find continuity on offense. And the way to do that is to get a guy in there and establish him as your quarterback the rest of the season. Until that happens, hopefully Mason Rudolph's going to be okay moving forward. Until that happens, you know, yet, you know, he's not going to be comfortable enough to look for different targets. He's going to be, you know, checking down to running backs out of the backfield like they've been doing, which has been working. So, like we talked about in previous weeks, it's an evolution. You know, you have to get these guys comfortable as quarterbacks before you can start, you know, worrying about, you know, them, you know, targeting specific players.
I agree with you completely. There's nothing more that I can say about that. You said it well. Now, we were talking about we'll talk about this question now. Can Alulo play well against the run in place for Tuitt? Also, we'll go ahead and bring up, there's a $5 question up there too that surfaces around Alulo as well. And that question was, if if he is out for the year, if Tua is out for the year from Snowman, what do the Steelers do? First of all, I think Alu has always played pretty well against the run as well as rushing the passer. So I don't really feel like that is it's a drop off, Tony. But I feel that that's a position that you have a great backup as far as coming in there. Then it's not like you're bringing Daniel McCullers in. Well,
you could probably move Hargrave over to play defensive end and maybe Big Dan be the nose tackle, because Hargrave is a very athletic player in his own right, and he's been drawing a lot of praise for his winning individual matchups over the last couple of years. So maybe that's what they do. They go with Hargrave and have him play as a starter at defensive end in place of Tuitt.
Yeah, very well. I mean, there's things that you could do. Gyro, if the Steelers do make the playoffs, how far do you think they can go? You know what? That's like, I'm going to give a Mike Tomlin answer here and says, we can't really put the cart against the horse. But I will say this, when the Steelers were 0-4 in 2013, and even last year in 2018, when they missed the playoffs, when they barely missed the playoffs in both those years, it was said about the Steeler team is they look like they can be very dangerous in the playoffs. I can't really say anything now because the story has not been written yet, because we just haven't seen enough of Mason Rudolph. We haven't seen this whole thing come together as of yet. So really, we got to go one game at a time. And I know we did not do that by trying to project wins and losses. And that's just us projecting what we think could happen and what we believe will happen. But it's really a tough thing to do, Tony.
Oh, it is tough. Like we were talking about. I mean, you have to establish an identity on offense before you can even worry about you know, whether Mason Rudolph is throwing too many or not enough balls downfield and this and that and the other thing. You have to give these guys time to play week after week after week. It's like any other position. They have to be in there. You can't just base everything off of one or two games when it comes to these young quarterbacks. They need time to develop in game, and that's not going to happen until they play, which hopefully Mason Rudolph is in there in 2 weeks and he's the starting quarterback the rest of the year. And he becomes a better quarterback as the year goes along.
Is Duck better at managing the team than Rudolph, asked Thomas White, or about the same? Duck seemed to keep the chains moving smoothly. You know, I kind of think that he did a very good job at moving the chains. I thought Rudolph was starting to do the same thing against Baltimore as well. Dallas Quinley answers the question for us, saying Rudolph has done better the first four games than Ben even did. Ben had 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Mason has 7 TDs and 2 interceptions. Only 80 yards separate them also. That's very interesting. Another stat that I'll throw in here that our stat geek did not bring up. Dave, you didn't beat us to this, but Mason Rudolph has more touchdowns this season than Baker Mayfield. Interesting, yeah. Tony.
Yeah, what does he have? 8 through 4 games is a 10. Anyway, he only has 2 interceptions. I mean, he's having a pretty decent year for a new guy. So, I mean, I think we need to, you know, caution our excitement. But at the same time, it is exciting to think about what he could be by the end of the year. Of course, he's going to be more cautious now. Of course, the offensive coordinator might be less imaginative than we'd like now. But, you know, it's a process. And you know, who knows? Maybe he's a completely different quarterback by December than he is right now. What does Tomlin always say? There are no rookies by the end of the year. And so he's you know, by the end of the year, he might have evolved so much, you know, that we'll all be surprised.
You know, that's very true. This will be our last question for the show. Gyro says, why are the Steelers not using Juju at all? He's a Pro Bowler, but he's been very quiet.
Circumstances.
Yeah. Tony, I'll let you elaborate on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been talking about it. They're trying to protect these quarterbacks. And, you know, last night was reminiscent to what they did with Mason Rudolph against the 49ers. There was a lot of, you know, checkdowns out of the backfield to Connor and well, I guess not really Snell, but Connor, you know, he had one of his best games of his career last night because, you know, they let the offense flow through him, and they didn't have Hodges sit back there and read through his options. They had him play cautious, and you know, it's hard on Juju. It's hard on Juju for number one, he's had to deal with three quarterbacks, two of them very young, and number two, they really haven't established a number two receiver yet. So, you know, it's not going to be easy for him. It probably wouldn't have been that much better for Antonio Brown if he was here.
Yeah, you know what? It's really hard. Don't paint with a broad brush, Ben. I got to bring this one up too. Never trust a person with two last names. Justin Conway, thanks. I actually have, I guess I'm using a first and middle name, but yeah, don't trust me either. But you know, here's the thing. I mean, this will go into everybody saying that, you know, that Juju's not a true number one wide receiver. And that's really a tough thing to say because this is not equal right now. It's really tough when you're trying to go ahead and bring a guy in, like you said, like either Mason or Devlin, and try to get them going. Mason, 3 games, 7 TDs, 2 interceptions. Brady, 10 TDs, 3 interceptions in 6 games. That's interesting as well. But when you have, and the Patriots did do that with Brady that year and won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that that's going to happen here, but what they did, you bring guys along slowly. And that's the bottom line to it. You have to. You can't just throw them to the fire. They didn't do it with Ben, and they're not doing it with these guys as well. Juju will have a lot of opportunities to go ahead and lead this team. He still has pretty good numbers. Only 2 touchdowns right now, but his numbers are not bad through 6 games as well. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for coming in here today. You know, a spirited conversation as always. I think the bottom line is, Tony, we are very excited. You could tell that the live chat's very excited about where the Steelers are going right now. It's not the doom and gloom that it was a week ago. Nothing's fixed, but I think what it does show is that there is a future here. Cree, thank you. I appreciate that as well. But, you know, Tony, would you agree that at this point that this doesn't mean Super Bowl right now, but we've got a lot of reasons to have excitement at this point?
Absolutely. We're finding out a lot of things about this team. We're finding out, like I said earlier in the show, that the defense is probably going to be something special, and it's probably the strength of the team right now. That's a great thing. We're finding out that they have two young quarterbacks that might, one of them or maybe both of them, might turn into something. So, you know, it's been a lot of bad breaks for them to start the year. You're losing your franchise quarterback. You're thinking you're going to be a contender before the year starts, and in the second game of the year he's gone. But you know, there's still a lot of positives to take from the season, and maybe even more as the season progresses.
Definitely, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. Now, I appreciate everything, all the kind words up on the screen. Thank you so much. I want to tell you, we're going to be here next week. Just because there's a bye doesn't mean Tony and Brian go bye-bye. So we will be here next week. We will discuss discuss the NFL, anything you want to talk about. It might be a little more abbreviated of a show since we're not talking about an actual game. But hey, there's always, if there's a chance to get hung over, we're going to do it with you. Right. So my thing to all of you, and Tony, I'll say this to you as well. We can't do this show without family. Tony, I can't do it without you. And also tonight we added a new wrinkle to it. It makes it so much easier to have Dave Schofield the comments and having a producer back away from the show as well. That's something that as well. But with that being said, Gyro, you're very welcome for answering your questions. And Mitchell, you've got a fan. I mean, Tony, you've got a fan in Mitchell Green. I love one. You got a fan in me as well. So as far as everything, thank you, right. BTSC family. Tony, I appreciate you. Dave, back at home in the booth, appreciate you as well. My friends, the Steelers won 24-17. They're now 2-4, and this could be the beginning of something new. So for Tony DeFeo, for Dave Schofield, for all of our friends in our BTSC family, my name's Brian Anthony Davis, and you have just been hungover. Good night.